Welcome to Christian Worldview with Dr. John Coben. Dr. Coben is an author, columnist, financial planner, and international lecturer. He holds a PhD degree in public policy, MA degrees in economics and business economics, and is a graduate of Reformed Bible College. Dr. Coben is an outspoken critic of public schools, government regulation, the IRS, paper money, welfare, and abortion. An evangelical Christian and the father of six homeschooled children, Dr. Coben is applauded by listeners across America and around the world as a champion of liberty, limited government, free markets, and peace. Now let's join Dr. Coben with Christian Worldview.
A very fine welcome to you this morning from Greenville, South Carolina. You're listening to Christian Worldview with Dr. John Coben, currently in the mid-60s in the upstate of South Carolina on this 23rd day of May, 2005. Going to be a warm one today. The Weather Service is predicting they're going to be in the mid-80s, mid to upper 80s today. That means probably into the 90s if their predictions are anything like past predictions. So should be a beautiful, warm day today. There's even a very small chance of a passing shower as it really heats up. But at any rate, that's what's on store for the weather today. Glad you joined us this morning at Christian Worldview. Way to start off your week. Great way to start off your week, that is, by listening to the Christian Worldview program. A lot of controversial stuff in the news today. Lots of things going on. Want to bring some of these things to your attention this morning. We're going to be talking a bit about some things around the world, politics as we usually do, public policy, get into what the scriptures have to say, what theology of public policy should be. Lots of interesting things on tap today on the program. Well, breaking news in Baghdad this morning is that a car bomb has blown up again, and it's blown up a Baghdad restaurant. Guess what? Almost every day for the last 3 weeks that we've come here on the show, there's been someone else killed, murdered, something blown up, some 60 people died, some 20 people died, whatever it is, in this virtual civil war that's going on in Baghdad and in Iraq in general. It's a shame. It's a consequence of the insane war that the United States waged over there of aggression. And who's even thinking about Osama bin Laden anymore? For all I know, he was a golf buddy of George W. Bush, and they just used his name as a kind of a false front for what they wanted to do and really go after this guy, Saddam Hussein. And then they've got him, of course, in jail, being taken pictures of in his underwear and all his nonsense. Who cares? All this seems to be such a staged event to me when I look at it just as things are going by here. But I guess enough Americans are true believers in the war in Iraq. There may be some who are actually questioning it now. That's good. We've been questioning it ever since it happened. This is another typical phony war that's pulled off by the American government to go and expand its own power, to destabilize the world, to bring more globalism, more one-worldish-ism into the spectrum of politics and public policy. It's a shame. We hate to see it happen, but I think that's exactly and precisely what we've been facing here. There's also a story in Fox News about activist judges being under siege. They're claiming that recent events have brought the term activist judge to the forefront of American politics, but some judicial experts say they believe the label may mean nothing more than a smokescreen to taint members of the court. In reality, they're saying that they're all a bunch of moderates and they're just an activist judge if you just don't happen to agree with their opinion on one or two issues. And we end up with basically a mealy-mouthed court. Something that doesn't have much backbone in it, at least as far as we're concerned. We'd love to see a true activist judge, one that's committed to overturning Roe versus Wade or ending abortion at least at the federal level of approval. So these judges really do not exist. They may have preferences one way or the other, but they're certainly not activists in going out of their way to promote the Constitution or the principles of liberty. We haven't seen that with any of these nominees. And what would you expect from George W. Bush? I mean, would George W. Bush actually do something principled, like come down to the Tyranny Response Network area here and just say, look, we've heard Dr. Coben on the radio. We need to appoint him as one of the justices on the United States Supreme Court. We know he'll be an activist and will do everything he can, regardless of what phony arguments are brought up to him to why he should oppose the Constitution and the principles of the Founding Fathers. We're going to go ahead and simply put him on the bench. I would be an activist judge. Now, believe me, I'm not campaigning for an appointment, but if it were offered to me, would I take it? You bet. Why? Because you'd have a lot of power to do a lot of good for a lot of people immediately, being a court justice. What's the chance of me getting approved in the Senate for anything? They wouldn't even approve me to be dog catcher in Washington. Are you kidding? The last thing they want up there is someone like me. I realize that. There's no delusion here. I'm not living under any delusion that I would be somehow appointed or elected someday with my so-called radical views. Because these people that are in power, folks, don't like the truth. They don't like to know. They don't like to deal with the fact that they are, well, maybe they do. They like to deal with the fact that they are duping the American public step by step. That there's somewhat of a sinister plot in their mind for how they might overtake the minds of Americans and create the gullible chaff that they can use then to fire around the world and spread the imperialistic policies. Rather ridiculous, the things that are going on in my mind, and not surprised to see what George W. Bush or any other American president in Congress have been doing lately, including this national ID card that's been approved unanimously by our Senate. Well, anyway, speaking of George W. Bush talking to graduates on Fox News this morning. He says, embrace community service. What hypocrisy. Anyway, here's what he says. Grand Rapids, Michigan. President Bush's appearance at Calvin College. This is an evangelical school, largely evangelical school. It's not that it's one of the foremost Christian colleges, in terms of spiritual life or in terms of being Orthodox necessarily, but still is an evangelical college, still is something that's trying to hold to, at least in large measure, the scriptures. Anyway, he appeared there, and he says on Saturday, was it much about politics as it was about his speech urging graduates of this Christian college to commit themselves to the community service. This isn't a Democratic idea. This isn't a Republican idea. This is an American idea, Bush told the students, hoping to send bipartisan message despite protests about his appearance. Yes, the Christians were protesting to some extent at Calvin College. As your generation takes its place in the world, all of you must make this decision. Will you be a spectator or a citizen? Bush asked about 900 seniors graduating from this liberal arts college. The students cheered him warmly before he spoke, but Bush's visit was not welcomed by all. Several dozen people protesting outside the event and a few graduates at the ceremony wore stickers that said, God is not a Republican or a Democrat. A third of the college faculty members signed a letter protesting his visit. The letter, published Saturday in a half-page ad in the Grand Rapids Press, said, as Christians, we are called to be peacemakers and to initiate war only as a last resort. We believe your administration has launched an unjust and unjustified war in Iraq. Well, for that, we have to commend, don't we, the faculty at Calvin College, one-third of the faculty. The other two-thirds, apparently, we don't want to commend whatsoever. They're part of the gullible mass that follows along the Pied Piper of George W. Bush. Another letter of protest from his students, faculty, and alumni appeared in a full-page ad on the paper on Friday. In our view, the articles and actions of your administration, both domestically and internationally over the past 4 years, violate many deeply held principles of Calvin College, and that ad in the Grand Rapids newspaper said. The Calvin College administrators say they were thrilled when the White House asked if Bush would speak at the commencement. So the White House asked Bush if he would speak. And his third trip this year to Michigan, which he narrowly lost to Democrat John Kerry in last year's election. Bush's speech here is one of two commencement addresses he's giving this year. Next Friday, he speaks at the U.S. Naval Academy. The choice of 4,000-student Christian college led to speculation the president wanted to reach out to his evangelical base in his Midwestern state. But some associated the college with a noted school's Christian background does not make it part of the conservative Christian movement. In his commencement speech, Bush mentioned advancing freedom around the world and voiced his support for the faith-based or religious groups getting involved in social service. To make a difference in this world, you must be involved in serving higher calling here and abroad, Bush said. You'll make your lives richer and more hopeful future for our world. His appearance was not all serious. Someday you will appreciate the grammar and verbal skills you learned here, quipped the president, who is not known for his eloquence. If any of you wonder how far a mastery of English language can take you, just look at what it did for me. Oh. So George W. Bush, we're starting to hear some of the inside scoop. Yeah, it's all just a facade. It's all a farce. He's figured out how to say things the right way so that to get a lot of points and votes. I mean, he's admitting what he's all about. George W. Bush is about as deep a Christian as the pimple on someone's skin is. It just erupts out of the top and oozes out. It just happens to be there as a sort of a parasitic leech. It has nothing to do with any truth at heart of this of his commitment to the truth. Or of what's right as far as the vision of the founders or the vision of the scriptures and what the Bible has to say is right and wrong. That's a harsh commentary. You've heard it here many times before, folks, but here we see another example. And many of the people at Calvin College are wise to what happened in what's been happening in Iraq and elsewhere, and they've seen through the Bush smokescreens. They haven't bought the idea of him being a Christian and serving us as the church. They don't buy the idea either that Christian colleges need to be out there donating their time for community service. And then the primary purpose of the church is to serve as a 501c3 arm of the government to do some kind of welfare-based activities. Of course, that's not said directly in here, but it's implied. At least the way I read it, it's implied that way. Well, perhaps you have a comment about George W. Bush talking to the Christian college folks and his ideas. We'd be happy to hear from you this morning. Remember, our backup line is the one that's working today, 864-201-6955, 864-201-6955. And you are listening to Christian Worldview with Dr. John Coben. We'll be back in just a minute.
With an aversion to deep thinking and critical analysis.
Giving money and power to government is like giving whiskey and car keys to teenage boys. P.J. O'Rourke.
Hi, this is Dr. John Coben. Many of you know that the Tyranny Response Network is listener-supported. And here's Gene Papke to tell you how you can support the Tyranny Response Network.
That's right, John. Folks, if you support TRN and you want to help financially, here's how. We at TRN are a listener-supported broadcast. But we don't take a notions, potions, and lotions approach to fundraising. If you own, operate, or work for a company with bad paper, that is, non-performing assets, we can turn that garbage into gold. Simply go to our website, NPPROS, that's N as in non, P as in profit, PROS as in professionals, your non-profit professionals, that's NPPROS.com. And remember, we raise funds, but without fundraisers.
Log on today to www.npros.com and find out how you can be a vital part in supporting the Tyranny Response Network.
I would rather be exposed to the inconveniences attending too much liberty than to those attending too small a degree of it. Thomas Jefferson.
If you have a question or comment for the show, please dial 864-244-8177. That's 864-244-8177. You're listening to TRN, the Tyranny Response Network. It's roughage for your brain.
It may interest you to know that there's a politically incorrect, uncensored monthly newspaper that sometimes publishes the Tyranny Response Unit's writing. It's called The First Freedom. And a supporter of this show, Nelson Waller, offers any of our listeners a free postpaid sample copy of it. Call Nelson at 864-642-4315 if interested. You can also sample this fine paper's material at www.gulftel.com/first freedom. It picks up where the liberal media leave off. And tonight is a very important... Before I forget, the phone number that you just heard during the ads or the announcements at the break is our regular studio line, but it's not functioning at the moment. What we need to do is have you call in on 864-201-6955. That's 864-201-6955. It's our backup line. Please use that number when calling in today. Tonight, you're cordially invited to attend or to join friends and neighbors for a wonderful opportunity to learn about American history, the underlying biblical principles on which our government is based, and the history of the drafting and ratification of the Constitution of the United States. It's called the Institute on the Constitution. Its location is at South Point Baptist Church at 203 Ina Marie Lane in Pelzer, South Carolina. You can call Pastor Tony Romo at 864-269-1443 to register for this great event, and we hope that you will do so. The Institute on the Constitution, very important meeting to help you think better. And I've attended several of them, been very pleased I've been able to do so. They have an informative video lecture first, and then they have discussion. So the meeting starts at 6:30, goes till 8:30. There are some snacks provided. They'd prefer that you get there on time, but realize that some of you cannot get there on time because of work commitments and driving so far. They want to extend a warm welcome to you to come in late and quietly come into the back. They don't have any problem with people coming late, realizing work schedules and people getting to Pelzer isn't necessarily that easy to do. So by all means, come tonight and listen to the Institute on the Constitution class. I believe this is the seventh or eighth week of a 12-week series that's being produced there by that church. Glad that they're doing that. Well, what else do we have in the news today? We have Army suspending recruitment for a day. Fox News says the Army is getting a refresher course in ethics and amid charges that recruiters have been deceptive, withheld information, encouraged potential recruits to lie on applications, and in one case threatened a man with arrest. The military branch on Friday suspended recruitment operations to focus on just that. We're going to be reevaluating in a way, said Army spokesman Doug Smith after announcing the recap of ethics and standards. Smith said Army values will be emphasized. What are Army values? Strange. As well as the recruiter's commitment to being open and factual with potential military recruits and their families. We are going to show that we are serving our country as recruiters, yet we're going to refresh ourselves with what it is we do and how we are supposed to do it. The stand down affects approximately 7,545 recruiters and thousands of support staff countrywide, Smith said. The Army and Marines, as well as the Reserve and National Guard components, have been missing their recruiting goals for the last 4 months. Analysts said an uncertain end to ongoing operations in Iraq and Afghanistan, coupled with news of violence and long deployments, have hurt recruiting and put recruiters under serious pressure to meet goals. I think it's simply a product of the massive pressures the recruiters are under, said Charles Sheehan Miles, a Persian Gulf War veteran and an executive director of Veterans for Common Sense. You have a war bringing down the recruitment numbers, but requirements are staying the same. The internet is flooded with an uncorroborated tales of overzealous recruiters who supposedly lie to tell their prospects to lie under oath to be a SEAL enlistment, but the Army acknowledges that a few headlines have prompted investigations and led part to Friday's halt on recruitment efforts. Well, we won't read the list of charges here that come up, but as you can see, people aren't that happy about the wars going on, and so they're losing a little bit of interest in going over and just blasting people, especially as they see the horrors that are being left in the aftermath in Iraq and the opium fields, perhaps, of Afghanistan. A lot of tragedy gone over in the Middle East on account of United States foreign policy, and a lot of people are just not that interested in signing up anymore. Sad, perhaps, but also good in another way, not because people aren't supporting America, but because they are not supporting George Bush's ploy and administration. So we're pleased to see what's going on here with this Army recruiting going down. It does send a message out. Also want to mention to you that some things are going on here in the upstate of South Carolina, which is of great importance. The environmentalist movement is still alive and well and kicking here in the upstate, as it is elsewhere. And there will be a Rails to Trails conversion meeting in Traveler's Rest on Tuesday, May 24th. That's tomorrow, 6 to 8 o'clock at night at the Traveler's Rest United Methodist Church. This meeting is being sponsored by Furman University and a number of others at local businesses here. This is an important meeting to attend. Why? Because it's linked together with this Vision 2025, this socialist / environmentalist idealist program that's put out for people in Greenville. This is run by the elite of Greenville, those who have the financial and political power to back them. And this Rails to Trails conversion meeting is really another way for them to regulate your private property, to instill all sorts of half-cocked ideals that promote socialism, that promote the environmentalist ideas here in the upstate. So we want to make sure that you attend if you can tomorrow evening, May 24th, from 6 p.m. to 8 p.m. at the Traveler's Rest United Methodist Church, the Rails to Trails conversion meeting. Well, here at Christian Worldview, we take strong stands on different things. Is it really wrong to be an environmentalist? Well, in God's mind, as far as what the Scripture teaches us, environmentalism is part and parcel of the Christian life, in the sense that we are to be subduing the earth, we are to be managing the earth, we are not to be careless with resources and destroying things. But that does not mean that we buy into the environmentalist doctrine based on secular humanism and socialism that is so rampant today. And there's a great deal of difference. We do not believe that God has nothing to do with the world, that man can actually thwart God's plan, destroy enough of the environment so that nothing is left. We do not buy these kinds of doctrines. We do not buy the idea that that we have all sorts of man-made intrusions in the world that will cause the world to end any time sooner than God permits it to. We do not buy the idea that it's wrong to kill certain species or to cut down certain trees or certain numbers or older trees and things like that. Why? Because we believe that God gives us all these things to use to His glory and for our good. That's why they're there. That's why they exist. They don't have a life in and of themselves. They aren't made in the image of God. Killing a rodent is not the same thing as killing a man. There is a massive difference. We do not buy the environmentalist worldview. What can we say? We are environmentalists in the pure biblical sense of the word. We just don't use that word. Just like we could also say we're all gay, too, because we're happy. We won't use that word either because, frankly, folks, it gives people the wrong impression about what we really are about here. So, at any rate, just wanted to set the record straight. Christians are not against the stewardship of the world. They're in favor of it, but they're not in favor of the environmentalist ideas. You're listening to Christian Worldview with Dr. John Coben, and we'll be back in just a minute.
Disinfecting the modern mainstream media. Christian Worldview with Dr. John Coben.
Just because you do not take an interest in politics doesn't mean politics won't take an interest in you. Pericles.
Hello, ladies and gentlemen. This is your captain speaking. We want to thank you for flying TRN Airways. Now, if you'll just look out of your left side window, you can see the dense clouds of liberal lunacy commonly polluting the airwaves. On the right side, you can see clear skies full of common sense, liberty-minded conversation. Now, as we enter the Christian worldview airspace, we'll be experiencing clear-headed thinking and will soon be reaching logical conclusions. Feel free to recline your seat and enjoy the remainder of the flight. And thank you for flying TRN Airways.
The worst crime against working people is a company which fails to operate at a profit. Samuel Gompers.
This is Dr. John Coben. Visit policyofliberty.net. That's www.policyofliberty.net on the web. You'll find there books and articles written by Dr. John Coben, that's me, the Tyranny Response Unit, regarding things related to covenant marriage, allodial land titles, and free market economics. You'll also find there portraits of famous economists, including their biographical information and links to their famous works, as well as many, many quotations for liberty. Visit policyofliberty.net on the web today and find a wealth of information to help advancement of the truth.
If you have a question or a comment for the show, please dial 864-244-8177. That's 864-244-8177.
Liberalism is not to be tossed lightly aside, but to be hurled with great force.
Grassroots Emergency Alert, says the Grassroots Gun Rights South Carolina and Lexington, South Carolina. If you ever visit other states like Georgia, Florida, North Carolina, etc., and want to legally carry a weapon, concealed weapon here, then please read this message carefully. We're very close to getting a bill, H-3110, passed in South Carolina that would let you do just that. But the bill is being gutted in the South Carolina Senate and made worthless. Your phone call starting Tuesday a.m., into the South Carolina Senate can truly turn the tide. We've mailed this urgent notice to 39,000 concealed weapon permit holder households in South Carolina at great expense because we believe that good people carrying firearms are good for our society. People who choose to legally carry firearms are the good guys. We've done what we could. We've got the bipartisan support to this point. We sounded the trumpet to call to action. Now it's up to you. Please make the call. So that bill is House Resolution or H.3110, and we want to be in favor of this. It sure sounds like, just from what I can tell, because coming from a trusted source, that anything that we can do to get people to get us have more of our Second Amendment rights back we want to promote here. So take that into account and go ahead and give a call to your state congressman here in South Carolina. Other events happening in the state here. The Libertarian Party will be having meetings this week, May 24th in Spartanburg, May 25th. That's at the Coffee Underground, starting at 8 o'clock here in downtown Greenville, May 25th. And on May 26th, Anderson and Abbey County Libertarian Party will be meeting with the Stop.org group, Stop Taxing Our Property group. And so they're meeting at the Golden Corral in Anderson at 3546 Clemson Boulevard in Anderson. All these announcements, by the way, well, most of the announcements are going to be located on our website. We have a new website, in case you haven't been there yet. It's called tyrannyresponse.com, tyrannyresponse.com. If you go to that website, you'll find a lot of the other stuff, just a lot prettier. A lot of the other stuff that you used to find on the Policy of Liberty website homepage, it's all been moved over to tyrannyresponse.com. From what I understand, for those of you who are challenged to remember .coms or .nets and so forth, because you're thinking that the Tyranny Response is a network, not a company, like me, you can also, I understand, type in tyrannyresponse.net, and it will go to the same page as tyrannyresponse.com. Now, Rippin' Richie, who hosted the show with me last Friday and is the creator of the webpage, really likes .coms. He thinks they're, to use his word, cool. Well, at any rate, you'll find there that if you use either one now, tyrannyresponse.net or tyrannyresponse.com, you should end up going to the same place. And if not, then for now you'll have to make sure to remember it's .com as the primary route. So you can also make use of policyofliberty.net and go to that webpage, find out our recent books and articles and so forth. Hope that you do so, because we have some excellent things there for you to read. Some controversial stuff. If you're a divine right advocate, you're not going to particularly like what you hear or on TRN or what you read at the policyofliberty.net website. Well, that's okay, because we're here to oppose your ideas. Yes, it's sad when we have evangelicals en masse who are promoting the ideas fostered by the Tories, the divine writers, revitalized divine writers of the day. It's sad to see it, but we want to educate Christians, to help Christians be disabused of their false ideas that they've gained about a theology of public policy, and right here on Christian Worldview with Dr. John Coben is our main forum for doing so. You can also pick up the Times Examiner, and they're listed on the front on the website as well. Why? Because this paper, struggling as it might be, is the greatest voice we have in print in the upstate for true conservative and pro-life libertarian ideas. Pick up a copy of that, and you'll be able to read this week about my particular understanding of what it means to be divinely ordained by God. Does that make something automatically good as soon as it's divinely ordained by God? We're going to talk about that a little later in the show, right when we come up to the top of the hour, I think, and comment about an email we received from Bruce. This whole issue is of paramount importance to Christians in understanding our view of theology and public policy, theology in particular. Well, the Times Examiner is something worth supporting. You can get a subscription to the Times Examiner for just $25 a year, $27 a year out of state. Give Bob a call, Bob Dill, at 864-268-0576. That's 864-268-0576. We also hope that you'll be able to have an ad that you can take out with the Times Examiner. Yes, they're looking for advertisers and in need of them. If they're going to stay afloat, if they're going to stay in business, they need support from your business. So even if you can take out a small ad, that's to help support the Times Examiner, we hope that you'll do so. Again, give Bob Dill a call at 864-268-0576. Okay, back to the news stories and the press releases of the day. Here's something of interest. Came from Reb Sutherland to me. She was a former Libertarian candidate for the Senate here in South Carolina. She says, many things, but consider this as information I'll bet you didn't get from school and don't get from the mainstream media. Taxes are a cost of government. In 1946, taxes equaled 45% of people's earnings. In 1959, 50%. In 1962, 59.3%. That was 1982, not 62. In 1998... 66.7%, an increase of 0.43% per year. And it now takes two people in the family working full-time to support the family in the same style it did in the 50s. At this rate of growth, taxes will be equal 100% of earnings on Saturday, March 18th, 2052 at 5:49 p.m. That's cute. Well, it'll never reach that point, of course. The parasite can't expect to get too many people working real hard when 100% is confiscated. But currently, if you're a filer and doing all the things that are necessary to pay up all the taxes that George W. and the rest of the United States government wants, 66.7% of all that you earn is going to pay taxes. Incredible. And yet, Americans are so gullible, they don't even... They don't even squawk about it too much. They have a good life, and therefore, who cares, I guess. They don't make a stink about it. Of course, this is probably not the income of the poorest of poor, and so that all the masses are not going to be complaining too much. But most people who have professional jobs, and even those who have high incomes in the blue-collar fields, are being raped tax-wise. And yet, the founders would just have revolted long ago. Why don't we revolt here today? Who knows? Just something about the public school, I guess, indoctrination program. That's been such a success. We've got a few more articles on taxes we'll take up after the break. You're listening to Christian Worldview with Dr. John Coben. Be back in just a few
minutes. You're listening to TRN, the Tyranny Response Network. It's roughage for your brain.
The only difference between a tax man and a taxidermist is that the taxidermist leaves the skin. Mark Twain.
Hi, this is Dr. John Coben with Integrity Group. Why is it so difficult for Christians to be good stewards of their finances? We know that God works miracles in people's lives, but He has not chosen to provide manna from above to help us meet our needs as He did with the ancient Israelites. As Christians, we should be leading the way as good stewards. Since we do not spend money on vices like non-Christians do, we should be able to save more. We want to work hard and save our money so that we can have something to give to missions and to the needy. In addition, we want to regularly set aside a portion for retirement. Christians should not have to rely on taxpayer-funded government programs for retirement. No Christian wants to become a burden to their family or church during the ever-lengthening period of old age. At Integrity Group, we are dedicated to providing personalized service, finding effective ways to protect and increase your hard-earned money. We are an independent financial planning firm. We specialize in finding creative custom solutions to meet your savings needs. Our offices are located at 514 Pettigrew Street in downtown Greenville. Make an appointment with Integrity Group today at 864-244-6464. That's 864-244-6464.
Democracy must be something more than two wolves and a sheep voting on what to have for dinner. James Bovard.
Sick of having the dead flies of bad public policy stink up the ointment of American liberty? The follies and foibles of the political sages of our day are plucked out daily on Christian Worldview with Dr. John Coben, weekday mornings from 7:30 to 9 o'clock, right here on 97.7 FM in Greenville.
If you have a question or comment for the show, please dial 864-244-8177. That's 864-244-8177.
Warning, Dr. Coben's show is not recommended for anyone with an aversion to deep thinking and critical analysis.
Welcome to Christian Worldview with Dr. John Coben. Dr. Coben is an author, columnist, financial planner, and international lecturer. He holds a Ph.D. degree in public policy, M.A. degrees in economics and business economics, and is a graduate of Reformed Bible College. Dr. Coben is an outspoken critic of public schools, government regulation, the IRS, paper money, welfare, and abortion. An evangelical Christian and the father of six homeschooled children, Dr. Coben is applauded by listeners across America and around the world as a champion of liberty, limited government, free markets, and peace. Now let's join Dr. Coben with Christian Worldview.
And we welcome you back to Christian Worldview. In the upstate of South Carolina, we currently have a temperature in the upper 60s already, just at 8 o'clock in the morning. If you're making your way out to work, no need to wear that coat this morning. We're going to be all the way up to the mid-80s everywhere, and that translates probably into right where you're going to be, anyway, 90 to 95. It's not going to be a cool day whatsoever. This summer, and the worst of it is upon us here in South Carolina, it seems. So be prepared for that warm weather today. It'll be a beautiful day otherwise. Might be an occasional shower that emerges on account of the heat or actually vice versa. But at any rate, be aware as you're making your way out today for the warm day that you have ahead of you. Well, we have the a few interesting stories that came up that the research staff has forwarded to me. I thought I'd read a couple of these things. This one is by Melinda Pillsbury Foster about the rapture of Rove. The George Stephanopoulos should have been surprised last Sunday morning when Christian Coalition founder Pat Robertson opined that liberal judges are far greater than terrorists. Pat is telling the truth. He is overfunding the context, fudging the context of these facts. These facts reveal that liberal judges are a threat to Pat's second job, the only one that has made the only one that has made Robertson and Reed both politically powerful and wealthy. Both support his administration no matter what it does. And what exactly is that? Either for more than a generation, Pat Robertson and Ralph Reed have worked covertly as political operatives for the powers behind this administration. Or they believe that the rapture is sure of all the Jews returned to Israel to die so that Pat and Ralph and George Bush can bodily be lifted up into the arms of the Almighty. Do they believe this? If Bush really believed this, he would have been far less likely to install off-the-grid solar technology to his 20,000 square foot ranch house in Crawford, Texas. And they would be planning to meet up with the Almighty in the Rose Garden. I know how I vote. Given the long-term investments and off-the-grid retirement homes, they are not expecting to go anywhere. Historically, those who believe in the rapture is coming to divest. Sorry, folks, this is a hard article to read for some reason, the way it's written. This has been true of the sects throughout the last 2,000 years. True believers buy white robes and head out to the hills to meet their maker. Are there white robes hanging in the otherwise empty closets of these august leaders of the pious prose? No. In that case, they are political operatives strutting their stuff in the vestments of virtue while living the lavish lives of plutocrats. The work is creating cover for this administration as it continues to place politically useful judges on the federal bench and neocon insiders in other seats of influence. Bolton into the United Nations would be an example of kind. Their ilk undertakes. Well, so we have here the neocons and people even like Pat Robertson supporting what's going on with the neocons, and we have these people living hypocritical lives. They truly don't believe in a near or imminent rapture. They're here for the long run. They're even installing solar panels. So interesting news story today. What about people who do believe in the rapture, or the pre-tribulation rapture, I should say, not just the second coming? Why do they get involved with public policy? Why should they get involved with public policy if they're not? Interesting questions to ask here on Christian Worldview. We'd be happy to talk about that as time goes on here in the show, or perhaps you want to call and discuss it. Our phone number here at the show today is 201-6955 in the 864 area code. That's 864-201-6955. We've also been talking about taxes a little bit. It turns out that the We the People Foundation has come up with this story. Just sent it to us yesterday. Hard evidence that Form 1040 has no legal basis in law. IRS withdraws criminal allegation. Tax convict walks free. Although people war against the income tax fraud and the IRS abuse has been lengthy and daunting, and has left many freedom fighters across our nation battered and bankrupt, there are continuing signs that the tide of tyranny may finally be meeting effective resistance. On April 12, 2005, William Wallace Lear of Muskegon, Michigan, appeared in federal district court in Grand Rapids to face IRS charges claiming Lear had violated the terms of his probation. William Lear had served 1 year in a federal detention facility in Minnesota following his conviction in 2002 for willful failure to file an income tax returns, a misdemeanor. His probation began on March 2004. The basis for the probation violation hearing was IRS claimed that Lear failed to abide by the strict terms of his probation, which included the requirement that he file all his delinquent tax returns and pay all back taxes and penalties owed. Just as the hearing before Judge Gordon Quist began, the Department of Justice attorneys moved to dismiss the IRS's probation violation claim against Lear that would have sent him back to prison. Although Lear had filed his missing returns, signing them under duress, which the IRS does not allow, and failed to pay the taxes owing on those returns, Judge Quist signed a letter completely releasing Lear from federal custody As of April 12th, Lear has been a free man. An important question remains, why? Why would the IRS and Department of Justice walk away from a golden opportunity to make headlines and to send a convicted tax protester back to prison? Well, interestingly enough, apparently they don't think even they have enough stamina to keep up the fight against doing that to this man, Lear. So that's interesting news, hard evidence that the Form 1040 may have no legal basis in law. If you have a comment about taxes this morning, we don't often talk about income taxes and so forth on this show, but we'd be happy to do so. And if you have a question or comment about what they've said at the We the People Foundation, we'd be happy to hear about it. Other taxes in the news, time to end property taxes. Anderson County Libertarian Party thinks so. The Anderson County Libertarian Party, that's here in the upstate of South Carolina, will host a public meeting with guest speaker Timothy Moultrie of STOP, to stop taxing our property. A group working to end all property tax in South Carolina. Timothy Moultrie is a libertarian writer, teacher, and was a 1996 Libertarian Party candidate for governor. We will discuss why we need to end the property tax, how we can end the property tax, and how we can pay for the local governments and schools without a property tax. We will meet the STOP on Thursday, May 26th at 6:30 p.m. in Golden Corral. The Golden Corral is at 3546 Clemson Boulevard in Anderson. The public is welcome. You're listening to Christian Worldview with Dr. John Coben. We'll be back in just a minute.
Warning, Dr. Coben's show is not recommended for anyone with an aversion to deep thinking and critical analysis.
Giving money and power to government is like giving whiskey and car keys to teenage boys. P.J. O'Rourke.
Hi, this is Dr. John Coben. As many of you know that the Tyranny Response Network is listener-supported, and here's Gene Papke to tell you how you can support the Tyranny Response Network.
That's right, John. Folks, if you support TRN and you want to help financially, here's how. We at TRN are a listener-supported broadcast, but we don't take a notions, potions, and lotions approach to fundraising. If you own, operate, or work for a company with bad paper, that is, non-performing assets, we can turn that garbage into gold. Simply go to our website, NPPros, that's N as in non, P as in profit, PROS as in professionals, your non-profit professionals, that's NPPros.com. And remember, we raise funds, but without fundraisers.
Log on today to www.npros.com and find out how you can be a vital part in supporting the Tyranny Response Network.
I would rather be exposed to the inconveniences attending too much liberty than to those attending too small a degree of it. Thomas Jefferson.
If you have a question or comment for the show, please dial 864-244-8177. That's 864-244-8177. You're listening to TRN, the Tyranny Response Network. It's roughage for your brain.
And we're here today trying to provide that roughage for your brain. We had an email come in to the Policy of Liberty Not Net contact form, which I thought would be interesting to read from Bruce. He says, it's a rather long email, but I'm going to read it because I think it has a lot to do with the Christian worldview. Before I get to that, it looks like we may have a call on the line. Do we have a caller on the line? Well, our producer is telling me that we have someone calling the show. We'd like to welcome you to Christian Worldview this morning. Who am I speaking with?
Dr. Coben, it's Paul.
Hello, Paul. Family. Yes, nice to hear from you today, Paul.
Yes, how y'all doing this morning?
We're good. Everything's fine up this way. A little bit tired, but we're fine. Paul, I think we've lost you a second. Hang on a second. We're going to go and try to get our microphones back on here so we can hear you. I'm here and I can hear you, but I believe our audience is not able to hear you. I'm going to get my producer to push the right button, I hope. Go ahead now. We can try it if we can see you, can hear you.
Are you with me now?
No, we're not. Well, we're going to try to, we're going to go ahead and go as if we think we hear you on the air. For some reason, our studio equipment just failed and I can no longer hear very well what's happening up there. But if you could hang on just a second, Paul, I think we're actually, what's that? Okay, appreciate you holding on. Nothing like having technical snafus during the Christian Worldview show here for some reason or other. One of our phone microphones just gave out here, and our we don't have the highest quality equipment quite yet here at the Tyranny Response Network.
Okay.
Now we hear you. There you are, and I'm sure our listeners can hear you now, too. Okay, well, anyway, go ahead, Paul.
Yes, good morning. Glad to be with you.
Glad to be with you, okay.
I was somewhat familiar with the We the People article, the Foundation article you mentioned about the individual challenging the jurisdiction, IRS jurisdiction in general.
Right.
I found it interesting that you mentioned it, and also you were talking about the Pied Pipers that follow King George II, and I had also recently read an article that there's, you know, what, that's been 900 federal judges, and over 700 of them have been put on the bench by one Republican or the other, you know, President Nixon and George Senior. Over 500 of them, almost 600 of the federal judges. And we all know that they have been instrumental in upholding Roe versus Wade and getting the Ten Commandments out of Alabama, and most recently killing Ms. Sherbo in Florida.
Yeah.
And
so you're saying the Republicans haven't done their job. The Republicans really have failed to appoint great justices, as all the gullible Christians out there have been thinking they will, unfortunately, and they never have done what they're supposed to.
Well, they did the opposite of what they said they were going to do, but I think they succeeded in what they wanted to do.
Yes.
What do you think of that?
That's a good point. I can't really argue with that. I mean, they seem to be very content with the way things are going.
That's correct.
And why wouldn't it be what their plan was all along? It's easy in politics to fool people by claiming you're going to do one thing and actually end up doing the other thing.
That's the other. They give you mouth or tongue, both, you know, pork tongue type thing, right? The Indians.
Yes.
The Indians know that well. And they say one thing to get elected, and they just say another thing to pay back their political masters or people they're indebted to.
Yes.
And one other thing about the income tax, and to have you on the phone and you brought the subject up, I wonder if most people understand what taxable activity actually triggers owing the tax or filing their forms. I would certainly think it wouldn't be labor, because the tax on labor's got to be slavery.
Mm-hmm.
Do you agree with that?
That's true. Of course, somebody would just contend against us that when we say that, well, it's okay. We can have slavery. You volunteer to continue to live in the United States, and therefore they can enslave you in spite of the 13th Amendment, because it's a voluntary slavery.
That's correct. That's exactly correct. I often ask people what the tax is on, and people understand sales tax or property tax or excise tax on gasoline. They have an idea of what taxable activity is going on there. But when they mention income tax, they draw a blank and don't have a clue what taxable activity they're engaged in.
Yeah.
I know my father never did, and he always, I remember he had several discussions with his accountants or lawyers or people, advisors, and he just didn't understand what the tax was on, but he paid it every year. He didn't have the internet to the world's greatest library at your fingertips.
Right.
He sure didn't, but I just thought I'd just interject a couple comments since you managed to bring it up.
Well, I appreciate that. We always enjoy these kinds of conversations. Christians frequently, don't you think, Paul, that you run into, they without questioning say, well, this filing of the 1040 form is something I have to do, and if I don't, I'm doing something wrong.
And I certainly understand that, but it's not even an informed decision at this point. And I'm not advocating not filing it, of course. You know, if the other tax pay it, if you want to volunteer, you know, that's fine, too. It's your choice. But they always bring up the Romans 13 and, all that doing the Caesar stuff, and they missed the spirit of it. I don't think, you know, Jesus came not for us not to be slaves.
Mm-hmm.
If you can at all avoid it, missing the whole point of Christianity, I think, well, at least part of the whole point, and our people in the pulpit aren't doing a very good job either.
Yeah, that's for sure.
Chuck Baldwin gave a lot of good reasons why maybe, you know, they're doing the best they can with it, but either way, it's just not happening. We're being misinformed.
Right, to our hurt. And it is a shame that this actually occurs here in America. What a great nation this was, and what it's become is just appalling.
That's exactly right, from the perspective of the founders.
It's
never been perfect, but it seems to be getting worse.
Hmm. Well, all we can do is try to extend the tide a little bit, and we try to do that here on Christian Worldview, at least to wake up the mass of Christians that there are in the world, in our country.
Get them thinking a little bit.
That's right, and that's a hard thing to do. Thinking isn't an easy thing to do, but we try to do that here.
I have the same problem myself.
Yes.
Do I want to read or just go fishing, you know?
Yeah.
Exactly right.
Well, it's an easier choice to go fishing for the most part, but unfortunately that doesn't get us very far. It just allows them to have...
No, it sometimes makes you bait.
Yes.
That's exactly it.
Well, I really appreciate the call this morning, Paul. Thanks for...
Okay, well, listen, I missed your weekend, so first opportunity I figured I'd give you a buzz.
Well, I appreciate that.
Keep up the good work.
All right. Thanks for the call again, Paul. You're listening to Christian Worldview with Dr. John Coben. We've actually come up to a time for another quick break, and we'll be back in just a minute.
Disinfecting the modern mainstream media, Christian Worldview with Dr. John Coben.
Just because you do not take an interest in politics doesn't mean politics won't take an interest in you. Pericles.
Hello, ladies and gentlemen. This is your captain speaking. We want to thank you for flying TRN Airways. Now, if you'll just look out of your left side window, you can see the dense clouds of liberal lunacy commonly polluting the airwaves. On the right side, you can see clear skies full of common sense, liberty-minded conversation. Now, as we enter the Christian worldview airspace, we'll be experiencing clear-headed thinking and will soon be reaching logical conclusions. Feel free to recline your seat and enjoy the remainder of the flight. And thank you for flying TRN Airways.
The worst crime against working people is a company which fails to operate at a profit. Samuel Gompers.
This is Dr. John Coben. Visit policyofliberty.net. That's www.policyofliberty.net on the web. You'll find there books and articles written by Dr. John Coben, that's me, the Tyranny Response Unit, regarding things related to covenant marriage, allodial land titles, and free market economics. You'll also find there portraits of famous economists, including their biographical information and links to their famous works, as well as many, many quotations for liberty. Visit policyofliberty.net on the web today and find a wealth of information to help advancement of the truth.
If you have a question or a comment for the show, please dial 864-244-8177. That's 864-244-8177.
Liberalism is not to be tossed lightly aside, but to be hurled with great force.
And we welcome you back to Christian Worldview with Dr. John Coben. We have another caller online, and we want to go right away to our caller. Who am I speaking with?
Hi, good morning. This is Chuck.
Oh, good morning, Chuck. Nice to hear from you.
Yeah, it's good to hear you again this morning. I caught part of Paul. It was breaking up pretty badly where I am up around Fair Forest Road.
Oh, okay.
So, but I wanted to kind of chime in with what he was saying, sort of what it was. It seems to me that people who think that the Republicans are on their side need to think about one thing, or maybe they haven't thought about it before, and you have to think about it as news articles come out, and then you hear policies proposed. But it seems to me that most of what is proposed, if you look at it, is always, you may say it's conservative, it's liberal, whatever you might label it, it all is in favor of more power for the government. And is that really in your best interest?
Right. Well, there's a reason to think that it's really not in our best interest, isn't it?
To me it is. Now, I don't know that everybody values liberty anymore, which I find kind of shocking. But if they do value liberty, then this is something to really consider, is whether the government is obeying the Constitution, whether they think of themselves in terms of limitations. And we have this contract, the Constitution, we've hired you to do a certain number of things, and we haven't hired you to do everything.
Right, precisely. But yet they're still taking upon themselves to do what they want. They take advantage of the ignorance of most Americans today who have no idea what the Constitution says or doesn't say.
Yes, I really fear that if it came to a vote today, you wouldn't be able to get an approval of the Constitution. People have become so ingrained in the socialist mindset. And if you said, well, you know, if you could vote on this Constitution, if you had it, you couldn't have Social Security, and you couldn't have this, and you couldn't have that. I'm afraid they would say, well, that's fine. I just can't live without all these things. I wouldn't vote for the Constitution today.
Wow. Well, what a tragedy that is. The appalling part is I think you're actually right. And you know what was even worse is I think Christians would end up leading the charge. They even here in the South, they would not vote to favor the Constitution and get rid of all their benefits. They probably would rather have all those benefits than liberty.
I hope we're wrong. I think that's why I hate to be a broken record on the tax stuff, but people have to look at that side of it and think of the cost. Okay, there's benefits, I have to admit. But I think if you look at the cost, it's just not worth it.
Right. Well, it's worth. Yeah, I guess it's worth it to you if you're a politician or someone who's getting direct payoff. But if you really calculate for yourself what benefits you get from the state, they're quite a bit less than the amount that's actually paid in, both in terms of money and the loss of liberty and things that you face in your daily life.
Now, I hear sometimes we've lost hope. A lot of people, they say, well, if you hear this on third-party voting, I can't vote for a third party. I'd be throwing my vote away. They could never win anyway. I think you had a letter last week where guys said, well, you know, with the way the rules are on the Electoral College and so forth, you can never win. On the other hand, you sure could embarrass them real badly if nobody voted for them.
Yeah, that would be very true. And you know what? As long as we keep saying we can't win, we could never win, then we never will, because no one will. We definitely can't win if we don't vote for third-party candidates. There's just no way around, no question about it. But we can still start a groundswell movement that will possibly, promote us that way, propel us that way, and we might at some point even start winning some elections.
That's right, we do. People forget. I don't know how many Constitution Party people are in office, but there are over 600 libertarians in office, and this should give us some cause for celebration. We should be, instead of talking each other out of voting for freedom, we should be encouraging each other, saying, yeah, you know, this stuff can really happen. We really can make a dent here and there. And very often, the vote for third party is greater than the margin of difference between a Democrat and Republican.
Right.
And in some cases, they need to be paying attention to our issues.
Right, it's a good point. Now, the 600 you mentioned, people don't often think of libertarians as having won elections because they don't win any big elections. They don't go to the United States Senate, except Ron Paul, who's masquerading there as a Republican. And they don't win the presidency, or they don't even show up on the radar screen. But the local races, or even in some cases statewide races, they have won before. So there is some chance, it seems, that libertarians could have a foothold or get a hold on some of these more local races.
That's right, and I think that's what we have to do. I mean, there's this temptation to just jump over the whole pack and run for president, and it gets a lot of publicity. But to be realistic, you have to have somebody you say, oh, look, this guy has been a governor, this guy has been a congressman, and it gives you the credibility that you have done something. I think the only alternative is to maybe have been a CEO or something like that, so you have that kind of credibility that you run a large organization. But I know if I wasn't particularly involved with any political organization and you said to me, I want this guy who's maybe only written a book or only been a TV personality to be a candidate, I would find that kind of laughable. You've got to have somebody who has some executive-type experience.
Yeah, good point. Well, all right. Well, I appreciate that extra call this morning in support of third-party candidates. We don't want to forget them and their labors. And I think as Christians, we have an obligation further to vote for principled manner rather than a pragmatic manner. If we're going to vote at all, then let's vote for somebody that stands for something that's right. In the last election, I think you could have voted principledly in a principled manner for either the Constitution Party or the Libertarian Party. And, of course, I prefer the latter, but that's all right. Either way, I think it's a principled vote. Voting for George W. or John Kerry was a pragmatic decision that was wrong. It was a sin for Christians to do so because, from the Christian worldview perspective, we believe that God ordains what he ordains in this world, and our duty is not to go out and make sure that we get the best candidate or the lesser of two evils, in a sense, but that we do what's right, and we vote for somebody according to principle, and that's what Christians really need to be doing. Otherwise, they end up with George Bushes, they end up with disappointments, and it's always going to be that way anytime pragmatism reigns.
That's right. And I think a lot of Christians think George Bush is their guy. But again, I think they need to be watching, saying, what does he really do? Are his policies promoting liberty? Or are they promoting more power for the government? I think you'll find that consistently he's voting to grow the government.
Yeah, did you also hear the story I read earlier, Chuck, about his visit to Calvin College and the protests from one-third of the faculty talking about his aggressive war and him opposing it and a few other things showing that he was not their man, at least at Calvin College?
I read that over the weekend. I was very encouraged by that.
Yeah, that is. I don't know if they were liberals or libertarians or constitutionalists at Calvin College, but at least they were standing up and thinking that George Bush was the man.
I'll take whatever support comes along.
Yeah, good point. Well, anyway, I really appreciate the call this morning, Chuck. We're just coming up to a break here.
Okay, great talking to you.
All right, see you later, Chuck. You're listening to Christian Worldview with Dr. John Coben. When we get back, we'll try to get back to Bruce's message, his email that he was sending. We started reading earlier.
You're listening to TRN, the Tyranny Response Network. It's roughage for your brain.
The only difference between a taxman and a taxidermist is that the taxidermist leaves the skin. Mark Twain.
Hi, this is Dr. John Coben with Integrity Group. Why is it so difficult for Christians to be good stewards of their finances? We know that God works miracles in people's lives, but he has not chosen to provide manna from above to help us meet our needs as he did with the ancient Israelites. As Christians, we should be leading the way as good stewards. Since we do not spend money on vices like non-Christians do, we should be able to save more. We want to work hard and save our money so that we can have something to give to missions and to the needy. In addition, we want to regularly set aside a portion for retirement. Christians should not have to rely on taxpayer-funded government programs for retirement. No Christian wants to become a burden to their family or church during the ever-lengthening period of old age. At Integrity Group, we are dedicated to providing personalized service, finding effective ways to protect and increase your hard-earned money. We are an independent financial planning firm. We specialize in finding creative custom solutions to meet your savings needs. Our offices are located at 514 Pettigrew Street in downtown Greenville. Make an appointment with Integrity Group today at 864-244-6464. That's 864-244-6464.
Democracy must be something more than two wolves and a sheep voting on what to have for dinner. James Bovard.
Sick of having the dead flies of bad public policy stink up the ointment of American liberty? The follies and foibles of the political sages of our day are plucked out daily on Christian Worldview with Dr. John Coben, weekday mornings from 7:30 to 9 o'clock, right here on 97.7 FM in Greenville.
If you have a question or comment for the show, please dial 864-244-8177. That's 864-244-8177.
Warning, Dr. Coben's show is not recommended for anyone with an aversion to deep thinking and critical analysis. Welcome to Christian Worldview with Dr. John Coben. Dr. Coben is an author, columnist, financial planner, and international lecturer. He holds a PhD degree in public policy, MA degrees in economics and business economics, and is a graduate of Reformed Bible College. Dr. Coben is an outspoken critic of public schools, government regulation, the IRS, paper money, welfare, and abortion. An evangelical Christian and the father of six homeschooled children, Dr. Coben is applauded by listeners across America and around the world as a champion of liberty, limited government, free markets, and peace. Now let's join Dr. Coben with Christian Worldview.
It's going to be a really warm day in Greenville, South Carolina at 8:30 here on May 23rd. It's already 70 degrees outside under sunny skies. It's going to be partly cloudy. The Weather Service says it's going to be a high of around 86 or 87, depending where you are in the upstate. Translate that into being about 95. Every time they give a high prediction like this, I always think that they end up trying to make it a little bit lower than it'll actually be so people won't fret so much. But it's going to be a warm one today, folks. Might end up being a few showers after the heat really rises in the afternoon. But otherwise be a beautiful sunny day for the most part. A few, like I said, a few clouds, but that's about it if you're making your way out to work. So get your air conditioner ready to be turned on here in Greenville and the upstate of South Carolina. Well, Bruce had this message. You know, before I go to this message, I've got to remind folks about one thing. He sent in this email, and we want to talk about what's in the email. In fact, these phone calls keep coming in. We're not sure we're going to get a chance to talk about Bruce's email. That's all right. We'll get to it eventually. That's one thing nice about emails. Even if we have to read it the next day, we can do that. And we do appreciate very much the calls coming in. I want to remind you this evening that we have the Institute for the Constitution. That's going on at 6:30 at 203 Ina Marie Lane in Pelzer. Institute of the Constitution is a great event. If you want information about it, go to the website tyrannyresponse.com, and you'll find out all the details about that event there. In addition to that, we have another event going on this morning. This is the day for the Americans for Constitutional Government. It starts at 10 o'clock in the morning, goes till noon this morning at the Sims Library off of Pelham Road. That's between Hudson Road and I-85 here in Greenville. It's going to be a great meeting of interesting speakers, and come out and get it. If you're not working, you have a chance to get over to the meeting at 10 o'clock. You'll be glad that you did. Again, it's at the Sims Library this morning at 10 o'clock in the morning. Well, we have yet another caller on the line today. The phones are bustling this morning here on Christian Worldview. Who are we speaking with?
Nelson here, Doctor. How are you doing?
Good morning, Nelson. We're okay, thank you. A little bit tired for some reason today, but doing well.
I simply don't understand how you every day can be there at the microphone at 7:30, bright and bushy-tailed from the sound of you seem to be 100% alert all the time. How do you explain that?
Well, it's just I don't know either, Nelson. I just figure it's the grace of God that allows me to continue to get out of bed, go to my first job, then my second job, then my third job, and sometime in the evening turn off that blow out that last candle and head off to bed. So I guess when I finally get really old, I won't be able to do it anymore. My kids already think I'm old because I'm 42 and I have gray hair now, but sometime it'll catch up to me. For right now, the cause of truth and liberty must go forward, so someone's got to do it. And, you know, let other people sleep. I can go ahead and just continue on.
Right on, brother. Well, you're helping to make me more of a morning person in the process, and I'm grateful for that. This news about Calvin College is completely news to me. I think it's very exciting, and you said you wondered, I think, what Calvin College is all about. I found their website, and it gets better from here. Their statement, they asked the question, what makes Calvin unique? Answer, Calvin is a distinctively Christian, academically excellent liberal arts college that shapes minds for intentional participation in the renewal of all things. And it seems that they freely refer to themselves as Reformed. So this is a Christian college in Michigan that has dared to take the lead in challenging their students and faculty there, at least have in some cases, Bush's claim to represent the politics of evangelicals as a bloc is insane warmongering.
Yes. Well, that is interesting. That wasn't all of the faculty there. It was only one-third of them and a number of students. He did get a rousing applause, remember.
One-third of the faculty is absolutely fantastic these days.
Oh, yes, I agree entirely. It's phenomenal. I was very surprised and encouraged when I saw the article as well. I went, by the way, to Reformed Bible College, which is about, 5 miles from Calvin College. Calvin College is the arm of the Christian Reformed Church. And the Christian Reformed Church is a mixed bag of liberal neo-orthodoxy as well as a lot of conservative Christianity. So we can appreciate it for that. And it is a staunchly evangelical school in the Reformed tradition. They do believe in affecting all of life with the gospel. So they wouldn't have a problem with a theology of public policy. And that's why I think some of them were willing to stand out and stand against George W. Bush. And I was appreciative of that.
Out of this world. What you see at their front, to their home page when you get there is an ad that shows, I think, the members of the quote Christian unquote singing group, and it says experience Petra, lost city of stone. So it looks like they're having some kind of silly Christian rock or pop act come to the school. That is not necessarily a good sign. But anyhow, I think this is a real break. breakthrough. It's tremendously exciting, and folks can get to a seemingly definitive, very meaty article on this development at, I did a Google search for Bush and Calvin College. That's advanced Google. And what I'm getting is ChristianityToday.com. So people might just want to go to that site if they're interested and search Bush's name or protest, whatever.
Yes.
And thanks for bringing this to our attention. Bye for now.
Okay. Thanks, Nelson, for the call. We do appreciate it very much. Yes, it is interesting to see that some Christian colleges are still taking a good stand for what is right and true, and we appreciate Calvin College doing precisely that. And now, of course, when you drive around Grand Rapids, Michigan, you do have to be aware that you're in the North, you're in Yankee country. People still do believe at Calvin and at Hillsdale, for instance, that the South was wrong, that Lincoln was right. This is an unfortunate thing, but even if we set that aside, we could say there are at least some good things going on up there. Not entirely good, but something good. You also have to put up with the bumper stickers that you see in town that says, if you ain't Dutch, you ain't much. Because it is very Dutch in western Michigan there. Good place, a lot of good people, though, and we appreciate the efforts of Calvin College. And Nelson, thank you again for the phone call. You're listening to Christian Worldview with Dr. John Coben. We'll be back in just a minute.
Warning, Dr. Coben's show is not recommended for anyone with an aversion to deep thinking and critical analysis.
Giving money and power to government is like giving whiskey and car keys to teenage boys. P.J. O'Rourke.
Hi, this is Dr. John Coben. As many of you know that the Tyranny Response Network is listener-supported, and here's Gene Papke to tell you how you can support the Tyranny Response Network.
That's right, John. Folks, if you support TRN and you want to help financially, here's how. We at TRN are a listener-supported broadcast, but we don't take a notions, potions, and lotions approach to fundraising. If you own, operate, or work for a company with bad paper, that is non-performing assets, we can turn that garbage into gold. Simply go to our website, NPPros, that's N as in non, P as in profit, P-R-O-S as in professionals, your non-profit professionals, that's NPPros.com. And remember, we raise funds, but without fundraisers.
Log on today to www.npros.com and find out how you can be a vital part in supporting the Tyranny Response Network.
I would rather be exposed to the inconveniences attending too much liberty than to those attending too small a degree of it. Thomas Jefferson.
If you have a question or comment for the show, please dial 864-244-8177. That's 864-244-8177. You're listening to TRN, the Tyranny Response Network. It's roughage for your brain.
And we're providing some of that roughage this morning. Just a quick news here, since we don't talk about Maine very often. Might as well just read this quick news story before we go back to Bruce's email, if possible. Ehrlich votes Walmart bill on job benefits. Princess Anne Merrill, or this isn't Maine. This is Maryland. Who told me this was Maine? Nothing ever happens in Maine. They have caribou there and lobster. It's very expensive. Anyway, Princess Anne Maryland. Yes, we know about Maryland. Governor Robert L. Ehrlich Jr. vetoed a bill yesterday that would have forced Walmart to pay a mandatory amount of employee health insurance and potentially cancel plans for a distribution center with 1,000 jobs. See, researchers should have known immediately this was not in Maine, because why would they put a distribution center in Maine? To distribute to New Brunswick, for instance, or Montreal? I don't even think that's an option. No, obviously Maryland. The so-called Walmart bill, officially titled the Fair Share Health Care Fund Act, would have forced the company to either spend at least 8% of its payroll on employee health benefits, contribute an equivalent amount to the state's Medicare fund, or pay a $250,000 fine. In Maryland, the bill and the veto likely will remain the key political issue through the next year's elections, with Republicans portraying the bill as anti-business and Democrats saying the veto is anti-worker. State lawmakers can override the veto when they return to Annapolis in January. The state's other large companies, such as Northrop Grumman, already provide benefits that comply with the law. So Walmart's being able to disregard the law. We appreciate them being able to do that. There should be no forced proactive policy from the state mandating health benefits or anything else for that matter. So I thought it would be interesting to follow up with that story. I think we actually mentioned that earlier on an earlier Christian Worldview show, and that's probably what prompted the research staff to send that one up to Pipeline to me. Well, we have Bruce's email again. He says this: John, I think that the difficulty that I experience with when things don't go my way, I'm thankful for passages like 1 Corinthians 11:3. When I notice the urge to have a rise up and demand that my voice be heard and my will be done, I rejoice in the virtue of Christ's submission. By the way, I'm not going to agree with you. I've already read Bruce's email before reading it to you, and I don't agree with what he says. Just so you know, you're hearing something that I don't agree with. And we're going to have some talk about this. And you may want to call in our backup line, 864-201-6955, this morning and discuss it. Christ always did those things that pleased his Father. He has the inherent right to rule, and yet his rule of life, I guess that's a grammatical error, was to submit. He yielded to God, to his parents, to the government of Rome, and even to those who were in charge of the religious life of the nation. He accepted his predetermined path and agreed to be led away like a lamb to the slaughter. Jesus meekly drew the line at a point where of sin and Satan when it came down to it. His resolve to stand against these two forces were impenetrable. He set a powerful example for us as he settled easily under the various spheres of authority that God has ordained. Even as he raised the question of his alternative, an alternative suffering in the Garden of Gethsemane, he chose against himself and obeyed. Isn't it fascinating to consider the degree to which each of these earthly spheres were affected by sin? Jesus did not rebel and revolt, even though each one of these forces in his life were far from perfect. His parents certainly did not write the book on parenting, yet he went back to Nazareth with them and made himself subject to them. The leaders of the temple had taken the nation down a path of legalism and dead orthodoxy, and yet Jesus lived quietly in submission to this ecclesiastical order for 30 years. Even when he finally made the proper move, he didn't walk away to start over somewhere else. He confronted these men, and in that, he perceived no threat to his own virtue by submitting to them. Think of Rome in the first century. It would be difficult to find a more ungodly and hedonistic government. However, Jesus fully submitted to them and discouraged his disciples against civil disobedience. Oh, really? Remember his last statement to Pilate: if my kingdom was of this world, my servants would have fought for it. Obviously, it wasn't, and they didn't. Where are our priorities? I think the application of this truth is profoundly simple. Under whose authority do we live? If we say that it is God's, and it seems to be self-evident that God would have us prove that by submitting yourselves one to another in fear of God. This means that we recognize the various spheres that God has provided for our good and its glory, and to give ourselves entirely to them. As we look at God's word, it is easy to see that blessing comes not to man through independence, but through interdependence. According to the Bible, we have no need to fear what man may do to us. On the other hand, we ought to demonstrate we fear God, that we fear God has the power to cast both body and soul into hell, by seeking out these opportunities to show our love for the Savior through particular and thorough obedience. What a bunch of claptrap. This is something akin to neo-Orthodox and liberal theology. Sounds good, sounds pious on its surface, but really misses the point, folks. He says how glad he is for Jesus' submission to his parents, which is a good thing. We all agree there. To the current, political and religious systems. But let's face it, folks, there's some differences between Christ and us. Not only because he was the God-man, but because Jesus Christ came with a particular purpose into the world that none of us can fulfill and we're not called to even begin to imitate. That is, he had to be born of a virgin, to live a perfect life for us, to die through a most brutal means, and then be raised from the dead and ascend to heaven. He had to do that. If he didn't do that, none of us would have been saved. And that's why during his earthly ministry, he did not try to resist or revolt against civil authority. He did not revolt more than he did against the false religion of his day, although I think he did far more against the false religion of his day than this email from Bruce suggests. And as soon as he had been raised, in Luke 22:36, he says, "Now, Peter, look," to his disciples, he said, "If you've got a couple cloaks now, I want you to go sell one of them and go buy a sword, a weapon for offensive action and for self-defense if necessary." Because the rules had changed. You see, the scripture gives us an indication clearly from Genesis chapter 3 onward that we are to subdue the earth and have dominion over all areas of life. We are not to simply be pietists who hang back and just watch history pass us by, to not get involved with public policy, to not get involved with the main issues of the day, and simply show everybody our obedience by suffering. This is a fallacy. It's wrong theology. It's not something we should be advocating, and we certainly do not here on the Christian Worldview Show. So, at any rate, I disagree with what Bruce has said. I appreciate his intentions, but I think that he's missing the point entirely. Jesus' ministry was different than any other ministry there ever has been. The apostles lived in a time of great instability, unrest, and where they had a cruel, draconian government over them and no possibility of rebelling. I think the founding fathers did the right thing in taking the chance that they had to get free and did so. So I think Bruce is mistaken. I think he is indicative of so many Christians today, unfortunately, who don't have a correct understanding of the scriptures. And we hope to challenge that here with the Christian Worldview Show. So anyway, I do appreciate the email coming in, Bruce. Just because I don't agree with you doesn't mean I don't appreciate you sending in. In fact, I don't have enough people disagreeing, it seems. When we come back from the break that's coming up here, we're going to talk about some even further disagreement as we end the show here at Christian Worldview with Dr. John Coben. We'll be right back.
Warning. Dr. Coben's show is not recommended for anyone with an aversion to deep thinking and critical analysis.
Giving money and power to government is like giving whiskey and car keys to teenage boys. P.J. O'Rourke.
Hi, this is Dr. John Coben. As many of you know that the Tyranny Response Network is listener-supported, and here's Gene Papke to tell you how you can support the Tyranny Response Network.
That's right, John. Folks, if you support TRN and you want to help financially, here's how. We at TRN are a listener-supported broadcast, but we don't take a notions, potions, and lotions approach to fundraising. If you own, operate, or work for a company with bad paper, that is non-performing assets, we can turn that garbage into gold. Simply go to our website, NP Pros, that's N as in non, P as in profit, P-R-O-S as in professionals, your non-profit professionals, that's nppros.com. And remember, we raise funds, but without fundraisers.
Log on today to www.npros.com and find out how you can be a vital part in supporting the Tyranny Response Network.
I would rather be exposed to the inconveniences attending too much liberty than to those attending too small a degree of it. Thomas Jefferson.
If you have a question or comment for the show, please dial 864-244-8177. That's 864-244-8177. You're listening to TRN, the Tyranny Response Network. It's roughage for your brain.
And I just wanted to get a couple more quick announcements here before the show ends. Remember that shortly after the Christian Worldview program today at the Sims Library, 10 o'clock in the morning, till noon, you have the Americans for Constitutional Government meeting. Hope you can attend. It's a monthly meeting. We talk about all sorts of different politics and public policy issues there. Well worth attending at the Sims Library off of Pelham Road between Hudson and I-85 this morning from 10 till noon. In addition to that, this evening we have another great meeting of the Institute on the Constitution. You can call Pastor Tony Romo at 864-269-1443 to register for this or for information. The South Point Baptist Church is located at 203 Ina Marie Lane in Pelzer, South Carolina, and you're cordially invited to join friends and neighbors for a wonderful opportunity to learn about American history, the underlying biblical principles on which our government is based, and the history of the drafting and ratification of the Constitution of the United States. I believe this is the seventh, if not the eighth, I think it's the seventh meeting this evening. And it's going to be a great program. Hope you can make it. Even if you're a little late, make sure you get out to the meeting. Well worth doing so. And then finally, tomorrow, There's the Rails to Trails conversion meeting at Traveler's Rest, 6 to 8 p.m. If you can at all attend this, please do, and express your opposition at the United Methodist Church in Traveler's Rest to the environmentalist/socialist agenda here in the upstate of South Carolina. Well, at any rate, I wanted to get those quick announcements out before the show ended today. They are time-sensitive, especially. My latest article in the Times Examiner is going to be of great interest and very controversial, obviously, already has been. It's been generating a huge amount of email backlash from one particularly vociferous person. And I wanted to raise it up to you for your consideration today. The title of the articles for the next 2 weeks, which are already posted on the policyofliberty.net website, is The Divine Ordination of State Criminals and Legalized Crime. That is The Divine Ordination of State Criminals and Legalized Crime. In this article, I make this statement. There's so much to read here, obviously, but I'll just read the end of part one. It says, in the case of states, God has ordained evil men to rule, to accomplish his purposes in this world. Divine appointment or ordination includes that which is evil and nefarious. Many will no doubt be shocked by the Bible's plain, clear doctrine. The fact that God ordains all things does not necessarily mean that all things that God ordains are good. For instance, Satan, the demons, various false religions, genocidal rulers, and prolific serial killers were all ordained by God, yet clearly none of them was good. Clearly, divine ordination does not necessarily imply even a tendency towards the institutional goodness in the state. Indeed, God ordains the state in the same sense that he ordains the devil himself. Now, this is a tough doctrine for people to get their hands around because they don't like the idea that God could be accused of doing something that is wicked and evil. And this is, of course, true, but it doesn't. The fact that people do evil things does not mean that God is out of control or not in control of the lives and affairs of people's lives or what goes on in history. He simply uses evil people and directs their course so that his will is absolutely accomplished and that he is glorified. This is not just my theology. This has been the theology of people for thousands, you know, well, ever since, as far as I'm concerned, since God began giving his revelation to men. Clearly, it was the idea and understanding of the Puritans and the Westminster Confession and the Second London Baptist and the First London Baptist Confession of Faith in our language, and it has been for all other ethnic language groups of Christians for many centuries. God's decree is absolute. He ordains all things. That it does include things like Satan and the demons, as I say, and I believe it also includes the state, Hitler's and Stalin's, that although these people are brutal, immoral, absolutely evil and wicked people, God ordains them. And the reason I say this is very biblical. Nero was in power, who was on par with the Hitlers and Stalins of the world and the age. Nero was in power when Paul was writing, and yet Paul makes it very clear in Romans chapter 13, 1, that the powers that be are ordained by God. And he's specifically talking to Roman Christians in Rome who were serving under or suffering under Nero, the great dictator, this evil man. So if Paul can write to the Romans and tell them in chapter 13, verse 1, that he is ordained by God. Let me read it exactly. Let every soul be subject to the governing authorities, for there is no authority except from God, and the authorities that exist are appointed by God. If God can ordain and appoint authorities like Nero, then certainly he ordains and appoints all other authorities. This bothers some people, but they have to who are well-meaning Christians. But all we can say to them is, check your Bible. This is what the Scripture teaches. God ordains even the Neros of the world. The fact that God ordains something, this is the punchline here, does not mean that it necessarily is a good thing. Just because Nero is ordained by God doesn't mean that Nero is going to obey God or do the things which God is pleased by in terms of his moral behavior. And the same thing is true of states. The fact that God ordains states to exist does not mean the institution of the state is a good thing. I had a former co-host on a previous radio broadcast that just vociferously said, clearly, in fact, I hope he reads this article and makes some comments on it, but he would say, no, the fact that there's divine ordination means that the state is a good thing, just like the family is a good thing. There are bad families and there are bad churches, but God still ordains the family and the church. Well, so what? Here, you're right, there are bad families and there are bad churches, if that's your perspective, but the point is that that God still ordains something that isn't good. The institution itself may be have a godly purpose, like the family or the church, but the institution itself of the state does not seem to have that sort of beneficial purpose. Now we're running up against the wall here because we're out of time here on the Christian Worldview Show. But I wanted to bring that up to your attention today. That we can talk about this certainly further in other shows, and we probably will. In fact, I may make a point of bringing up this article again, as you had a chance to read it when the paper comes out here locally, or if you go to the internet site policyofliberty.net and read about the state being ordained by God. What does that actually imply? I argue again. It doesn't mean that the state as an institution is a good thing. Not just that the rulers are bad sometimes, but that the state in general is not good as an institution. Well, we're going to leave that question open as it is since we've run out of time here on Christian Worldview with Dr. John Coben. Glad you've joined us today. Hope you can make the many meetings that are scheduled. If you missed anything, be sure to go to the tyrannyresponse.com website so you can see all the posted phone numbers and events there listed. Until tomorrow, then, God bless you.
You've been listening to Christian Worldview with Dr. John Coben on TRN. Join us again tomorrow morning right here at 97.7 FM on the Tyranny Response Network for Christian Worldview.